It is a Wednesday, middle of the week, November the 10th, 2021, 14, now 15 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio time. Scott Spears in the studio with Glenn Coble. Telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Do you have anything to say about dinner with the presidents, or what else did we talk about last hour?
How many people do you think
Veterans Day?
How many people do you think were at dinner for the president? 200? 220?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Good turnout.
Good food, good turnout.
All around good.
Great night.
Good.
Great
now,
night.
See, to me, those are things in Marion that I think we should hoist up. They're done right. They're good. Bring your family. Everybody leaves happy. Let's make them bigger. People get stuff right.
You know, and it didn't take too long. I was, you know, it was advertised to take 2.5 hours, and that's exactly what it took. And I was pleasantly surprised. My wife was surprised when I came home. She said, "You're home early." I said, "No, I'm home exactly on time."
Yeah. I mean, it was a great event. The idea behind it's very smart. I'm not sure who came up with the idea about it for it years ago. It's very smart. And it's got a crowd that comes back every year.
Yeah,
to the point
at my table had.
To sell out. So that's great. And there are good things to champion here in Marion, and that's one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, as Warren Harding gets a bad rap publicly, but he did have, and Florence, they had an interesting life, and it was well worth listening to. I thought she did a terrific job. There were a lot of things I didn't know about it that she told us. Anyway.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what made her speech very good.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Now, here's a problem. I was going to save this for tomorrow morning, but since we have the veterans coming in, I figure I'll talk about it now.
All right.
Yesterday, because I don't know anything about cars.
I don't either.
No. So yesterday, I had driven my car all day, and doesn't seem to be any issue. And I turned on the car as I was going home last night, and the orange wrench came on, that light on the dashboard.
That means you have to fix something.
Well, I thought something's wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is, because there is an oil light that comes on when you're low on oil.
Is that your fix engine light?
Well, yeah, when I got home, I Googled it, like most people would do. What is this? And what it says is that it's the maintenance reminder.
Oh, what a pain in the neck.
Yeah, but is it? See, I don't know what to do with that, because the car is running properly. I'm not low on oil, or the oil light would come on.
Yeah.
So what do I do? Go get the spark plugs checked?
Well, you know, that's not a bad thing. We were driving out to California 2 years ago in our older car, and it wouldn't run. I mean, it was really struggling to run, and we took it to a local guy, and he said, "When did you have your plugs and wires changed?" We never had. They changed the plugs and wires, and the thing ran all the way to California and back with no trouble.
Well, I could see if there was a problem that I would notice, because that would alert me that there's a problem.
How many miles does it have on it? Do you know?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to look.
Yeah, because it might be an automatic thing. Every 20,000 or every 50,000 miles, it says, have your regular stuff.
I wonder.
Stuff.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I was just reminding you to get your maintenance stuff.
Now, maintenance of what sort?
Well, your owner's manual should tell you.
He doesn't read.
Spark plugs these days last, you know, there's not much you have to do to the spark plugs all the time.
So what are they going to do? I mean, are we talking like air filter and oil filter?
Changes, yeah, and stuff like that.
But I already did that.
My truck has one that comes on for the oil change, and then I had to figure out how to get it off.
Yeah, that's a pain.
Well, that's the thing, is that this light has come on, but it's not saying the car is low on oil.
No, it's not on because it's low on oil. It's just it's just a reminder that you need maintenance. Mine comes on every, I don't know, 6,000-8,000 miles when the oil needs change. I change it before that, but, you know, when it came on, I had to get the owner's manual out and figure out how to turn it off.
Oh, there is a way to turn it off.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Well, how does your, I'm just curious, I'm sure it's not the same way, but what does this entail? Like hitting the horn twice and punching the radio
button?
It's
almost that odd, yeah.
Oh, God, I forget now how I had to do it. I think it had to do with some buttons on the speed up, the trip meter. I think.
Yeah. Oh, okay, like the speedometer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so really, there's nothing wrong with the car. It's just telling me that I should go get maintenance.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to worry about it. You can just keep driving it and not turn it off.
Well, see, now I was driving this morning, and I thought, well, wait for smoke to start blowing out of the thing. And
probably not.
Probably not. Probably not a good enough answer.
Well, smoke
you're
can blow
like, hey,
out
you
anytime.
Know, I didn't want to look at that thing all the time, so
yeah.
I got the owner's manual out and read, and I had a little trouble, you know, because maybe I aren't too smart, but, you know, sometimes when it's...
Well,
telling you this or that, you do it and it doesn't, you know, you didn't want to do it and I figured it out.
Well, the thing of it is, I just had an oil change not too long ago, and I also had a new battery put in the car because I didn't want to go this winter with a bad battery. And nobody has said anything looks bad or needs to be done, so...
Have you changed your air filters? There are several, including one that's your cabin air filter. There are a lot of filters that people forget
to
change.
Well, too bad he didn't mention to you, you know, about turning it off then. You know, these garages, they know how to do it.
Well, it just turned on yesterday.
Yeah.
He should have
reset it then.
Well, it wasn't on then.
Right, but he could have reset it.
Oh, he could have reset it internally.
He could have still reset it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll look for that then, because I do have the owner's manual. I guess I'll just pull it out.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the tidbit.
Yep.
Bye-bye. 740-383-9944. What does the orange wrench mean? Because then you read some things like on a Ford, which my car is not a Ford, that says, oh, man, you've got problems.
Yeah, well,
you better take that car in.
Those aren't standardized little lights, unfortunately.
Well, it just that it came on. It's. I've had the car now for... when did I get that? January of, right after New Year's, right before New Year's, 2020. So late 2019. So I've had it for almost 2 years now, and I've never seen that.
I have a problem. Occasionally my check engine light comes on, and I've found out that I have a Ford Explorer, and I found out it's a problem a lot of Ford Explorers have. They don't have little gas caps, so your pressure isn't, you don't know that you've closed your gas thing. It's got a little flap. Well, apparently, it's not perfect. And so every once in a while, the way they tell you to stop it is you have to put a little WD-40 on the little hinge that holds the little flap on the gas cover. You have to do that. And then you have to take a stick and poke it in and out for about a half a minute. And then it'll go away, but your light won't go off. So I went and bought a little device that I can plug into my car and tell it to turn that light off.
Well, you know what? During the holidays, I just don't want to. This is not the time I want to be paying for air filters and whoop-de-doos.
Yeah.
And, you know, come to me in February.
I'll bring my little device and maybe you can
pop it off.
Yeah, maybe we can figure it out.
If I don't show up here one morning, you'll know what happened.
I'm
on the side of the road.
We'll look for smoke out on the east side.
Yeah, just drive down the boulevard and see if you see me on the side of the road. This is why I always said it would be great if we had a transit system in this town that could get me here on time every morning and take me home.
Well, they could.
I don't think they can.
No?
No, I think
you're
it's,
outside of the city limits?
Well, I'm close to where they would be, but I the hours are off because I've got to be here by 8.
Right, you got
And I don't think they start till 8, and then, so there's a problem there.
Yeah, I really like our transit system. I've only used it about 3 or 4 times, but it was fairly convenient, but I was only using it during regular business hours.
Well, you know, you're a part of our Christmas bus tour. Now, we better start talking about this because...
I didn't know that.
We've talked about this.
Well, we've talked about it. I didn't know.
Well, here's what happened. The city bus system said we can't do it,
right?
Because of the federal money that pays for it. So they can't run them, and I understand that.
Yeah.
No problem there. So I went to a school, and I don't want to say the name of the school, but the school put it before the school board, because the superintendent was all for it. And the school board said there are some issues with insurance running them outside of school children. So the superintendent is still trying to work that out for me, and I appreciate that. You know, even if he doesn't get it done, I appreciate that he's working on it. That's a very nice thing to do. But I have to come up with a plan B just in case. And my plan B is to get a trailer, like a hayride.
Yeah, we've talked about
that.
Okay,
well, I found a trailer the other night, but I bet I can only get
20 people, maybe.
Probably. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe less.
If we're all close.
Yeah.
And put maybe some hay in the middle or something like that. Maybe I'll have to put folding chairs in there. I don't know. But, so if we do that, it's a short trip. So I think we're going to have to run more than one a night. Maybe two.
Wouldn't you have to get police control of it for that?
You don't have to get police control to drive a trailer around, do you?
Well, I'm thinking you're going to be driving at a slow speed. You're definitely going to have that little triangle on the back.
You think we'd have to go at a slow speed?
Well, I don't think you want to drive at 30 miles an hour with people sitting on the back of it. I mean, you might not even be allowed to because...
Oh, here we go. This is why we never get anything done. This is why... I mean, just... Take your own cars out, I guess, at this point.
What is making that beeping noise?
There's a beeping noise?
Oh, it stopped.
I don't know. So, Glenn, what's your idea? I thought it'd be like a horse-drawn carriage.
Oh, I love that idea. I've just...
Bundle up and let's go.
I'm just worried that you'll find that...
Can we get a police escort for that? Here, how
that would
long
be fun if you got a police escort.
Okay, here's what I'm saying. Let's say we all met at Meijer.
Yeah.
That's a good place to park your car.
Sure.
We all meet at Meijer. We go out on 95. We go down to James Way. We go back into... What is that neighborhood?
I can't remember, but I know where
you mean.
Yeah,
but we go back there because that's where the Disney character house is.
Right.
We see that. We pop back out on Richland Road.
Right.
Go back up to 95.
Okay.
Because Richland Road, we come out right there by where Dunkin' Donuts used to be.
Yep.
Go back out to 95. Finish down to 95. Go down to where that little alley is, where 95 ends. You know, if you take 95 all the way, like you're going downtown.
Okay.
Go down the alley.
I don't know where this alley is.
Well, you know it. They call it a street, Vine Street, but it's actually an alley.
It's right downtown.
Yeah, you go right, okay. And we'll pop out there. Go up on Center, and then we'll go down, because then we'll pass by the tree.
Yeah.
That's downtown. Plus, we'll see all the downtown snowflakes and all that.
Yeah.
Then we'll turn on Main.
Are those Democrats, those snowflakes?
I think they are.
Yeah, okay.
They hang the Democrats from the light poles downtown at Christmas.
All those snowflakes.
Right, and there's music playing downtown, usually over loudspeakers. So then we'll turn down Main.
They need to get better loudspeakers.
There are some houses on Main Street that are very nice.
Are there?
Yeah. We'll go from Center down Main to Fairground. Turn down Fairground, go into the Coliseum, go through the lights, then come back out on Fairground, go down Fairground to Pole Lane Road, then there's some nice houses on Pole Lane, back to Meijer.
Yeah.
Now, how long
Pole
is that?
Pole Lane's awful thin, so I don't know whether you can...
Well, how long is that trip going to take?
45 minutes.
You even think that long?
I think it will,
Okay, so we could do two of those. That way, if we have 40 people, we could take... 40.
Yeah.
And we do it three different times. That would be...
60 people. Three different
80.
Times.
No, I mean during the season. If we do it twice a night, which would only be 2 hours, less than two, an hour and a half, and we do that three different times over the season, that would get 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. We'd take 120 people through.
Okay.
Then we go back to Meijer and we have cookies and hot chocolate with Santa.
I'm not going to all three of them.
No, you have to go. That's one of the rules for being a part of this station. Is that, so what's going to happen now is, I guess we just have to get permission to put people in the back of a thing.
I'm really going to throw some mud in your
Well, go ahead.
Here. I think you're going to have to get some form of insurance for what is it called? Insurance for if somebody gets hurt.
What if we have everybody sign a waiver?
I don't know. I think you still should talk to somebody that's a lawyer.
Well, this might be your department, Glenn.
You can
Glenn.
Talk to one of those judges.
One of the judges downtown.
Tight with. Yeah.
I don't know. What does the audience think of this? 740-383-9944. Also, if a church bus showed up, we'd be okay. Who has a church bus?
Yeah, and they're going to have to check their insurance as well.
Yeah, but I don't think a church bus is going to have the problem that a school or the city is going to have.
I wouldn't think so.
Because I could go, you know, like a church bus that picks up kids for Sunday school, they don't know who's going to get on that bus, so they must have a blanket coverage.
I imagine they do, yeah. That's one of the reasons why my father never had a church bus in
now,
any of his churches.
I can't do this all myself, so everybody's going to have to jump on here.
I will do one. I will not do all three.
Go ahead, Colin. Yeah.
You know, people are not even allowed to ride in an enclosed RV that's being towed.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. And I know there's no way that you're going to be riding in an open wagon. I mean, they don't even allow people to sit in the back of an open pickup truck.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, except at something like below 25 mile an hour or something of that
nature.
We could
go slow.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
I wonder.
Because a trailer, an RV, those are hitched. You know, there's no guarantee that hitch is going to remain in contact.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. So
because there's been more than one boat and more than one RV fall off of a car.
Yeah, that would be bad. We wouldn't want that at Christmas
right.
time. So
right.
I don't know, other than a bus, how you take a group of people.
You know, I don't know what there was. Used to be a small tour bus service here that was operated by a fellow that. I think it was out of Central Christian Church.
Is it the guy from the limousine?
I'm not sure, but later then there was somebody, I think it's in Mount Gilead, that picked that service up. You know, that will it takes like, you know, only 25 or 30 people or something of that nature. It's something similar to a city bus, except a nicer bus, you know, one meant for long trips. And since a lot of the advertising and people they talk to that used to talk to Charlie and stuff on WMRN, you know, since that's went away, it just sort of lost track of some of those things that happened now.
It would be nicer to be inside.
Oh, yeah, I'd rather have a bus.
Oh, yeah, zero it would be nice. Yeah, especially, because you never know the weather.
Yeah.
It might be snowing.
It could be. Could be.
That'd be fun.
Well, and I think a bus is the way to go. We just, you know, most churches don't have buses anymore. It's kind of, it's a different world.
And most of them are pretty, honestly, pretty crappy buses, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They're secondhand school buses, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on your other subject of your cars, you know, you're the perfect person that admits he doesn't know anything about a car. They ought to be taking it in someplace to a good, competent mechanic who has all the electrical equipment for testing, but just to inspect things, just like they said, your spark plug wires. You
might
know,
cost you $50 to $100.
You know, any kind of your EGR systems and PCV systems, and make sure they're all functioning. Or, you know, breakdown maintenance is not the way to go. Let me tell you.
No. You don't want to wait for it to give out.
Right. But
yeah,
if you
I
don't
agree.
Go in and get it maintained occasionally, you'll do that. You ought to just set up an automatic so many miles, or at least once a year, to take it. Find a good mechanic. You know, there's some good garages around Marion, small ones like
yep.
that TCS or something like that up on Oak Street, and you know, there's some around that are good. You know, what you need to find is you need to find an honest one. You know, I hated when Auto Tech. It was down there.
Yeah, I loved Auto Tech.
I tried to marry him when they went out of business. That's yep. who I always took it to, and they was very fair priced. And
they were, yeah.
I miss them.
Me too. Yeah.
But you need, you really do need a today's cars. You know, you need a good a mechanic that inspects. You know, your front joints. You know, your CVT joints that drive the front wheels. You know, that flex all the time and look for cracks in the boots before all the oil leaks out, the grease leaks out, and you ruin the bearing. It gets a little more expensive than replacing the boot.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things anymore on a new car that didn't used to be on any car.
And that's really what that signal is telling him, to just
that's
have
right.
the general maintenance.
That's right. It was probably set up on a miles or time or
probably was.
Something that they didn't. You know, and you got to watch the. They need to check like back pressure on the catalytic converter, things like that, to make sure it's not getting plugged up. And so, but a lot of little things, you know, a lot of sensors that they can put their equipment on and tell you, you know, if the sensor's adjusted properly or is it is giving you the proper signal out of it that the engine will respond best for efficient fuel mileage and things like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm going to have to get a check. That's the last thing I want to be on the side of the road.
Right.
Yeah. Well, hey, appreciate the info. Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'll tell you, Ernie, he knows his stuff.
Well, obviously he does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he knew all the right words.
Go ahead, caller.
All right, plan C for your Christmas.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
Decorate somebody's vehicle, yours or somebody's, advertising what it is, why it is, and WWGH, and then just have a caravan of cars following you. It'll screw up traffic, but, you know, it's already screwed up.
But how are we going to be in a communal, you know, singing carols type of thing?
Oh, you always like to sing carols.
You can do it before and after at the Meyer parking lot.
There you go.
Oh, sing them in the Meyer parking lot.
Have a circle the wagons.
I don't know. See, I think this is bad because I don't know that I can broadcast live from a car.
Sure you can.
Sure you can. Bluetooth.
Yeah, and a phone.
Yeah.
Well.
Or if all else fails, Adam likes to talk and call in all the time. Let him figure it out.
There you go. Adam can figure it out.
Other duties as assigned.
Hey, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, I got some news here. The Lady Justice back on top of the courthouse has been postponed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's important news for people. I think they will want to know
the
that.
They can't find the time capsule, right?
Well, you stop. No, it's weather.
Oh.
They're worried about tomorrow's weather, so it has been postponed. Lady Justice will not go back on top of the courthouse tomorrow, and I know a lot of people had questions about that. So maybe we will cover it now. Who knows? I think it's the 16th is what they're saying now. I'm trying to get this out to people. This is breaking news here, Glenn. Run it down for them.
I'm trying
to be a rip and read newsman at this point.
I'm trying to find that sensor that I have. I can't find that either. Okay. Well,
what good are you?
Well, when you're 75 years old,
my word, Glenn.
They put up in Alaska. They put people my age out on an ice floe and let us float away.
So tell them what we just said.
Well, I like the idea the gentlemen have of just getting a caravan of cars going around. I think that's kind of
cool. I don't think that's going to work.
Well, I did it with a lady that turned 100, and we did a caravan of cars to go by her house, and that was kind of fun. But I don't think that'll float very well with the city legal
establishment. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you know, in your Christmas thing, why don't you guys try to work in conjunction with the Marion County Fairground? And afterwards, they'll open up the Coliseum, and they can go in there and serve your hot chocolate and sing carols. And maybe they'll even, with all these huge farmers that are part of the fairground, they might even have a truck or a trailer they'll donate.
Hey, cool.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Hey, very good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you
Adam's
got the fairground
charge.
Up there, the Coliseum, they do things at Christmas.
Yeah.
And, you're missing the boat right there.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll have to give a call over to the Coliseum. Do you know who the Coliseum, the fair board director is?
I used to.
No, I don't. It used to be a last name of Tripp, but I don't think it is.
It's a lady now.
Yeah, I think Candy retired.
Did she?
I'm not sure who's in there now. We'll figure that out, though.
You can call the office. There's always somebody there.
Yeah, we'll check that out. That's a good idea. Hey,
thank you.
And by the way, just want, because I know there was a lot of interest, postponed. Due to forecasted high winds on Thursday, November 11th, the planned return of the statue of Lady Justice to atop the Marion County Courthouse has been postponed. The return has been tentatively rescheduled for Tuesday, November 16th, weather permitting. So no Lady Justice back on the courthouse tomorrow. It's been postponed until next Tuesday if the weather works out. There you go, Glenn.
I'm trying to look up who the fair board lady is.
But that's a good suggestion.
Yes, it is a good suggestion. It's also a good suggestion not to try to hoist up a several hundred pound statue in high winds.
She might be down permanently if they try that tomorrow.
It might bend her little middle finger right back into a flat position.
Yeah, well, Lady Justice will not be going back up on the courthouse tomorrow, so that, you know, kind of...
It's
not going to happen.
If they put her up there during high winds, it might be newsworthy.
Well, I don't
I'm
know.
Sorry.
Glenn, my word.
I need to work on my brain.
But we do need help with the... Now, we're going to call the fair, but we can't take people around in a wagon.
Probably not.
But I don't know about this caravan thing. I was getting the Lady Justice information, which is why I was kind of zoned out on that whole caravan thing. I wanted to make sure we got that out to people. But I don't... the caravan isn't going to work.
It's not as much fun, no.
No.
And the real fun... Maybe we can just do it out at the fairgrounds and just go round and round and round at the fairgrounds adding people. I don't know. You know, because do they charge you to take your
they
car?
They do. They do. But if you have a big big car load, I think it's just a higher price but cheaper.
Well, maybe we could do that on the back of a wagon or something like that. That would be kind of fun for people. The problem is, like the gentleman said, the weather. If it's really bad weather, nobody's going to want to go out there. I know I used to do the...
Go out where?
Go out in an open trailer and go...
Oh, no. So. But in December, I think we have a pretty good bet that we're not going to... It's not going to be 10 feet of snow.
Well, when was the peanut push? It was in November, I believe. And I remember several peanut pushes that I pushed a peanut in sub-freezing, if not down to around zero weather. And so, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of cold, so... I like to stay nice and toasty.
I'm trying to figure out if this is... We just got another email about the Lady Justice thing. Due to the forecasted high winds on Thursday, November 11th, the planned return of the statue of Lady Justice to the top of the Marion County Courthouse has been postponed. The statue's return has been tentatively rescheduled for Tuesday, November 16th, weather permitting. I think that's the same message we just got.
Okay. Yeah, probably. And I'm trying to look up that date. Tuesday the 16th?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what the weather is supposed to be on the 16th. Tuesday is supposed to be sunny, or partly sunny, and only get up to 46 with a low of 27. So it's going to be a little chilly, but it doesn't look like it'll be a bad weather.
You know, I know Lady Justice went back up in the month of November. The first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I don't know if it's going to be tough planning like this to do it, I think.
You mean...
Like days ahead.
Yeah, it is.
Because you don't know how the weather's going to be.
No.
They might just want to get a crane down there, and one day they wake up, hey, the weather looks good, let's get it back up there.
That would be interesting, yes. Having a crane there forever, I wonder what that would cost.
But if you're just tuning in because people have asked if we were going to cover this tomorrow. Lady Justice is not going back up on the courthouse tomorrow because of weather. It has been postponed till next Tuesday at this point, the 16th, and we'll see what happens on the 16th.
I didn't see any tarp up on top of that. How are they protecting the holes that are there where she was?
I really don't know.
No, you probably care.
Well, I just don't know about the whole thing, to be honest with you. It's nice that it's been restored. Do we have to do this every 40 years?
I don't know. Probably. Her check engine light went on.
It did. The wrench went on in the courthouse, and somebody said, we got to get this thing down and work it over a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, are they having the peanut push this year?
As far as I know.
Do you know when it is?
You know, your guess is as good as mine. Yeah, it's usually the first Saturday in December when they do the Christmas parade downtown, which I've never been to the Christmas parade.
Oh, it's fun.
Is it?
Yeah. There are lots of kids come to it. Now, on the one year that it was down sub-zero, it was pretty sparse, but most of the time, a lot of kids like to come down and
see
Santa.
Now, what's in it?
No, just a bunch of cars and a lot of people advertising.
Oh, well, see.
And Santa.
Well, Santa comes and visits me here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and also there was me. I was always on the parade, and I had a confetti gun, and I'd shoot that off, and the kids absolutely loved it. I still have the gun.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, how much does the confetti cost?
About $100.
Really?
Yeah,
just to blow the confetti one time?
Yeah. No, that's several times.
Several times. Yeah. Well, we've got a little bit of time here. We've got 15 minutes left in the program. Does anybody have any idea how we get the Christmas Tour of Lights 2021 off the ground? Now, we do have some suggestions that have been tendered here that we are going to check with the church buses. We are going to check with the Coliseum Fair Board. We're going to do that. But any other ideas?
Yeah.
You know, creativity is the spice of life here. 740-383-9944. And by the way, big veterans program tomorrow morning here. Veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam on this program, 8 to 10 tomorrow. And then we've got Jim Gunnall's interview tomorrow from 5 till 7, and to replay on Friday from 2 until 4 p.m.
Yeah, and we're
Eastern Standard Time. And don't miss that. Jim Gunnall really opens up about everything.
I think that'll be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, don't miss the Jim Gunnall
and
interview.
And it'll be rebroadcast, I assume, on our website.
Right? Oh, yeah, it'll be available on the website
starting
Friday.
Sure.
A fascinating man. I was so fascinated by him, especially about the weight issue, because this has become a thing.
It's become a thing?
Well, that people, you know, and we have made light of it.
He has gotten noticeably heavier.
Well, we've made fun, made light, whatever you want to say, about it on this station, and apparently a lot of other people have too.
Well, I'm kind of sensitive. I'm not the lightest person in the world. I'm kind of sensitive.
No, but he doesn't look well, and now I've learned that there is a medical condition there.
Does he have diabetes?
I think the issue here is congestive heart failure.
Oh, yeah, that would be bad.
So it's interesting, but also the fact that he was given a life or death sentence, however you want to refer to it. And you have to listen to this thing. I don't want to give you too much.
I will.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Just a lot of interest. If you want to know about Jim Gunnall and you want to know every nook and cranny of the last 42 years here in Central Ohio, this is the interview to listen to. This is not about weather.
You know, it's kind of interesting. When I was doing my preparation for this for my show this afternoon about Vietnam, you start thinking about things like that, and then you start realizing every single person has a very interesting story that they're probably not telling anybody about. And, you know, there are organizations that house reams and minutes of live audio of people and where they came from. I love going back and hearing individual people's stories. You know, you might be walking down the street in downtown Marion and walk by somebody that was...
Was that a friend of yours?
It must have been an interesting horn.
Now, if that's somebody listening who did... call us, if that was you, because that is the most interesting horn I've ever heard. Give me a call, 740-383-9944, because a lot of people will honk now when they pass by here, which is kind of fun.
We now have a new sign.
We now have a new sign. So if that was you and you just honked, give us a call. That was an interesting horn. 740...
Like a train.
Yeah. 740-383-9944.
Yeah, I don't know where I was going in.
Everybody's got a story.
Oh, yeah, everybody's got a story, and some people's stories are interesting, but nobody's ever told it, and I love listening to people's stories.
I think everybody's got a story, but I think we've really oversold this in recent years.
Well, one of the reasons why I'm doing this afternoon on mine is my wife says, you have a really unique background with Vietnam, even though I never went to Vietnam.
But you know what? Nobody remembers their own story, how it was. That's why when I always hear people say, well, you should write a book, not talking about me, but to other people, I think, I know that some of the things that they are saying are baloney. Now, unfortunately, you don't know that they're baloney, but I was there when it happened, or I know what they're talking about, and it's not how they're putting it.
Well, we all see things differently like that. My wife has read portions of, I wrote my memoir, and she's read little portions of it, and she said, that's not the way it happened, and we started talking about it, and we both disagree on what our memories are of that moment.
Right, but most people who are telling a story spice it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I'm
spice
telling...
mine up.
Yeah. So what you're hearing is a spiced up story that you should write a book. Well, it probably didn't happen that way.
Well, and also you leave out the bad stuff.
Yeah.
You don't want somebody to know that you were rude to a 5-year-old kid.
Well, that's why I like reading an honest memoir. That's why I thought Katie Couric's, and I haven't read it, I'm not even sure if it's out, but the cover of People magazine a few weeks ago, Katie Couric was taking all this heat because she didn't write a book that was, I interviewed, then I interviewed, then I did, then I did. She wrote about, I felt this person was out to get me. I shunned these people. I took this part out because I thought it would hurt this person. She took all this heat, but she was telling things that were real and from her perspective. And I think that's interesting.
Well, one of the rules I put down on my own self when I was writing my memoirs is I will not tell anything that I think I'm lying about, and I will not aggrandize it so much that it's embarrassing the way how much I spread the tale. But if you do that, sometimes you leave out some of the really interesting stuff. I've gone back and looked at mine, and how could I have forgotten that one? Or why did I say that happened in 68 when it really happened in 63,
Yeah, but what's interesting to me is when people write something, usually they are aware it's going to be read by somebody else, usually. So they'll go, oh, I can't put that in. Well, that's exactly what you should put in.
I didn't put anything in that I tried to put everything in. Now, there are a couple of things I didn't want my wife to know about. If she's listening today, they're nothing really bad, but things that I thought it would embarrass my wife, and I've left a couple of those things out, but not very many.
Well, see, I think about that, too, because sometimes I think, well, maybe I should write down things that may be of interest to people after I'm dead, that they'll wonder the backstory about something.
Yeah.
And because sometimes I think the backstory is far more interesting than what actually happened.
Yeah.
But then I think I can't expose that person while they're alive.
Yeah.
Because maybe they don't want people to know that.
I did find it freeing that many of the stories that I told in my memoir were about people that had passed away. And my dad and mom weren't going to come back and
see, that's
go
the big one.
It.
That's the one most people have the most trouble with because they don't want to make their parents look bad. And while your parents are alive, you have a hard time being very honest.
Yeah, it would be tough. It was a lot easier that my parents were gone when I wrote it, and it was a lot easier that my sister and brother were gone when I wrote it.
Well, I mean, people will jump up and go, "Well, that's not so. That didn't happen because
like
they're
my wife."
Because they're nervous.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want that to be exposed, and a lot of people are fair in that saying, because it's their life too.
Yeah, yeah. And you may have seen it differently than they saw it. Yeah.
Well, do you know how many times people have come up to me, and it's somebody I know, and they'll be, they have departed, and they'll say, well, did you know, dun 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 dun, 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 and I'll think, wow, you know, they never let on that that was going on.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah. I've pretty much had an open book life, whereas my wife is on the other side of that tale. She doesn't tell anything about herself. So, yeah, there are different types of way to respond to stuff. Now, if I had, I don't know, if I had HIV, which I do not, but if I had that, I might have a hard time telling people about that in my memoir, but I know my wife wouldn't tell anybody that.
Well, I think it's hard to tell anybody if you have an illness, because I think most people read that as a vulnerability.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mind being vulnerable. That was another thing that made my writing my memoir easier. I don't mind people saying, hey, Coble's a jerk. You know, it didn't bother me.
Oh, no. Well,
most people wouldn't say I'm a jerk, but there are some.
But, I mean, does it really... I mean, we've talked about this before. Does it really matter what somebody else thinks about you?
Probably not. Now, when I was writing about my youth, there are two young ladies, they were young at the time, that probably would have said that I was a masher, but I was not thoughtful about them when we were having courting, right? I'm trying to be as kind as I can here. But I always thought I was thoughtful. I may have been aggressive, but I was not aggressive to the point where I would do anything that was illegal or wrong.
Well, I just, you know, I have a hard time... Because I understand everything is subjective in life.
I don't know what that word means.
Well, it's it.
yes, I do.
Yeah, you do. To me, you know, it's you know, we had the conversation not too long ago about Amos and Andy. Should they still play Amos and Andy on the radio?
Yeah.
Now that's a subjective opinion. Should you?
Yeah.
I don't think you should. But that's my opinion.
Yeah.
And other people are going to have different opinions. What I find strange is when people get mad at you about your opinion. What's my opinion that this should not happen? And I have reasoning for why I believe that.
It depends on how you couch it. If you couch it as an opinion, that's one way. But a lot of people couch it as it's a fact. And
here's the problem.
You've got to be careful of that.
Here is the issue with Amos and Andy, and we've only got 4 minutes. And
there they go again.
Now, see, who is that?
We love it.
They are definitely listening to this station and not telling us. Who is that who's blowing that horn? Give us a call, 740-383-9944. We know you're out there listening to this right now. Who just drove by and blew that horn for the second time?
Same horn.
740-383-9944. We only have 3 minutes to hear from you.
Go ahead.
But the Amos and Andy thing is I think it can be interpreted as racist because it is two white guys, the radio program, trying to talk in a what they thought was black dialect.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't matter if I find that offensive. Find an African-American person. Ask them if they think that's offensive. And that's what you have to go on. A white person cannot make that decision. A white station manager or a white program director saying, well, no, I think that's fine. Well... okay, then you have no sensibility.
You need to walk
toward anybody.
The other person's shoes, yeah.
Right. I mean, would it be okay in radio to talk in a to make fun of somebody with a speech impediment?
Yeah.
Would it be okay to do that? I don't think people would like that.
I don't think so either.
But you know what? If that were two African American guys doing those voices, it would be less offensive.
Absolutely, except the dialogue in it is pretty racist in the dialogue alone.
Well, I guess I mean what was that called? Step and fetch it.
Step and
yeah, that's
fetch it.
Pretty much what they're doing.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah.
And the humor is not.
It's making fun of African Americans.
It really it's that's the punchline.
Yeah.
But yet I do not feel Jack Benny is, because they made Rochester out to be the smartest person in the world.
He was.
Right. And Rochester was an African American person.
Did he speak like that, like we hear him?
You know, that's a very good question. I was just running that through my brain, because he did talk with a certain dialect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know probably not. I doubt
hey,
he did.
Mr. Benny.
Yeah, yeah. He probably didn't.
Yeah.
That was, but at least It was the choice made by an African American actor to do it.
Yeah.
Amos and Andy ain't that.
Yeah.
And they certainly aren't putting Amos and Andy up on a pedestal.
No, they aren't.
Jack Benny wrote good for Roger, or the writers for that show. But I really think that's a complicated issue.
Oh, it's terribly complicated. And people that are all worried about this, what is it called? Something race, O-T-R...
Because we only have about 2 minutes left. I watched a show on Hattie McDaniel the other day. First African-American woman to win an Oscar for Gone with the Wind. But because she won it as a maid, her life was really not all that great after she won the Oscar. Black people didn't like her because she won that for portraying a maid.
And she portrayed it in a African-American...
And people who did like her just wanted to make her a maid all the time.
Yeah.
She couldn't get better roles the rest of her career.
That's happened to a lot of people, unfortunately.
Go ahead, caller.
I thought her comeback was so classy, too. She used to tell him, I'd rather get paid $1,200 every week for playing a maid than $200 a week for being one.
You got it. You got it. Eddie McDaniel's hat.
Classy lady.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. And by, it's a very good point, and that is a good line. And but the end of the Hattie McDaniel story is she donated that Oscar when she died to, I can't remember this. It's a well-known school. Well-known African-American school.
I don't know.
In any event.
Which ones are African-American?
There are certain, traditionally, yeah.
Black so, colleges.
Yeah, yeah. She donated the Oscar there. I think she died in the 60s. She donated her Oscar, willed it to that university. It went there, and they have pictures of it there. But I keep wanting to say Morehouse.
It could be. Okay. Morehouse is an African-American.
So she donated it there, and then during the 1970s, late 60s, when they were having riots on college campuses in regard to race, somebody stole the Oscar.
Oh, my.
And they've never found it.
Oh, my.
Isn't that a horrible story?
It's probably the same place where Lady Justice was.
Well, you know, the belief is, at least what the documentary I watched on her said, was the belief, it went back to that whole thing even after her death, that this is a symbol of white people rewarding this actress as a maid. That's where they wanted to keep her, and that's why they took it.
Yikes.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad. So maybe one day it'll turn up.
I hope that she felt that it was an Oscar for her ability.
I don't think she had a problem with the Oscar. I think she was very proud of. She's always going to be the first, and that's that. But I think what she had a problem with was she lived into that era where here came, what's the lady's name? She's famous. She was a famous singer, but a famous actor, very glamorous.
And I'm thinking of it right.
Yes,
now,
Lena Horne.
Yeah.
Lena Horne came along while Patty McDaniel was still along, and Lena Horne was getting cast as the lead and the glamorous woman while Hattie McDaniels was still the maid.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that weighed on her a little bit, that nobody would ever cast her as anything but the maid.
Lena had a lot of things going for her. One of the big one was she was absolutely gorgeous.
This is a decent conversation to have, and who knows, maybe we'll have it as the week goes on.
Let's do it.
Hey, we'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow for the big Veterans Day program. So will Glenn at 8 to 10 tomorrow. Lady Justice is postponed. Don't go downtown in the morning. It ain't going to happen till next Tuesday. And we'll update you as time goes on that. And Glenn's up next. Nate Today at 4, Offbeat News and Trivia. Trinity Baptist Church at 6. Jim Ganahl, the big interview tomorrow from 5 to 6 p.m. And Friday 5 to 7 tomorrow. 2 to 4. I have this written out the wrong way.
Okay.
Got to write this out. All right. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You know.
And legendary talk show host Dick Cavett.
I don't know. I can give you an exclusive here, I think.
Oh, let's do.
Sitting there with Alfred Hitchcock during a commercial break.